Over the past few weeks, we have been talking about spiritual alignment. We've been talking about getting ourselves or allowing the Spirit of God to align us with His will and His way. If Christ is our firm foundation, what He has promised is this, is that the gates of hell will not prevail over you or your life. I know that that scripture that I'm referencing talks about the church, but I need to remind you that you are the church. Amen.
Amen.
You and I represent the body of Christ. When Jesus comes back, He is not coming back for buildings. He's coming back for people.
Amen.
Amen. As the bride of Christ, He says that if you are in Him, He said what you can be assured of is that no matter what may come your way, it will not overtake you if Christ is your firm foundation. So we've been talking about the need for us to be aligned spiritually so that we can receive all that God has for us. You need to know that God doesn't bless mess. God don't play games. Amen? Unfortunately, we're living in a generation right now where people think God plays games. That you can approach Him any way you want to, bring to Him anything you want to bring to Him, and because you were nice enough to give God some of your time, He'll say, oh, thank you. But that's not who God is. God does not allow us to dictate the terms of the relationship. He has established how we are to approach Him. He has established through whom we are to approach Him. And He has established for us how our lives are to be lived if we expect to receive from Him the best that He desires to give. And if you try and trick the system, God says, do not be fooled, for He is not mocked at all. What a man or woman sows, they will also reap. So He says, if you sow trickery with Him, you know what you're going to get? Trickery from Him.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah,
because He says, to those who call themselves tricking Him, He shows you just how shrewd He really is. You can't deceive God. You can't hustle God or any of that. And so all I'm saying is that you and I need to align our lives with God's will so that we can receive from God what He desires to give us. What a fake life does for you, it's like you taking your ATM card to the bank. Amen? Or maybe I should say, you taking my ATM card to the bank. Not knowing my PIN number and trying to get yourself some cash. It won't work. Amen? A fake life before God won't work. And when we're talking about spiritual alignment, all we're talking about is aligning our lives with God's will, God's way, and God's word so that we are able then to receive God's blessing. Amen? Up to this point, we focused on three different areas. First, we talked about aligning our faith. It said, faith, first, your faith must be in God. From Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, faith is what? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Hebrews 11 and 6 says, without faith, it becomes impossible to please God. And for you and me to remember that anything that we are to receive from the economy of God must be received by faith. That is the currency of exchange in the kingdom of God. It is called faith. And that we need to have a firm assurance, in the truth of God's word. And we need to rest upon him in such a way that we know God is not a liar, and what he has said, he will do. Amen?
Amen.
Secondly, we talked about we need to align our commitment and our priority. That your salvation, my salvation, costs God the thing that was most precious and dear to him, the life of his beloved son, Jesus Christ. Jesus gave his life so that you and I could be reconciled to God. In fact, John 14 and 6 says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to God except through Jesus Christ. Romans 10 verses 9 and 10 says that if you will indeed confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, the very salvation that you desire will be yours. For he said when you do that, you will be saved. And so then, if that's true, Jesus said, if I gave all that I have for your life, then you owe me everything. Amen. Your salvation cost him everything. And so he said, don't be bringing me no half stuff. I want it all. In fact, we looked at some scriptures that talked about the cost of being a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ, and the cost was high. He said, you need to leave everything behind and make him first in your life. In fact, he said that, I know you like your mama, but you don't need to be loving your mama more than you love me. Amen. He said, your boo is all of that. He said, well, don't you elevate your boo above me. Everything in your life must take second place, second priority to your relationship with Christ. He must become first. Given your life, that's your commitment, order your priorities so that you demonstrate that he is first. And no one else get in the way of your allegiance, your service to God. Amen. Then we talked about aligning our hope. Because we're dealing with the truth that in this life, things become difficult. Amen. We talk about operating by faith. Faith talks about this idea that sometimes I haven't received that thing which I'm hoping for. But if God is true and every man is a liar, whatever God has declared will come to pass. If I'm still waiting, I've got to wait with hope. I've got to wait with this determination that God is going to deliver. So I've got to hold on to God's promises with a sense of expectancy. Hope is that forward-looking view of my future that says that God is going to come through. Hope is the idea that something good is going to come through this mess that I'm going through. Hope is the idea, it is the belief that this trouble won't last forever, but the trouble itself is going to produce in my life something good for God's glory. Romans 8, verses 28 and 29, you know them well, where it says, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and who are called according to his purposes. Hope says, I know that this will work out for my good and for God's glory. Amen. We talked about our ability to maintain our hope because we know who God is. Amen?
Amen.
We can hold on to our hope because we know that God's omnipresence places him what? Everywhere.
Amen.
We know that God's omniscience, his all-knowing, plans for every eventuality. Amen? There's nothing that happens in your experience that God didn't plan for. And we know that God's omnipotence prevails every time. Every time. There is no situation that can come against you that is too powerful for the God that you serve. Well, y'all better act like y'all believe that. Amen. Amen. Listen, there is no sickness that has attacked your body that the power of God can't prevail over. And it doesn't matter how long that sickness has been hanging on and clinging on to you, the power of God is able to overcome. Hope reminds us that it's never too late for God, because God specializes in what the impossible. And when we're remembering who God is, He is an ever-present God. He's an omniscient, all-knowing God. He's an all-powerful God. And if God is on my side, He is more than the whole world against me, I can have hope. So you and I, in the midst of our daily struggles, in the midst of our weekly struggles, we are aligning our hope with God's purposes for our lives and saying that we know that everything is going to be all right. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Today I want to talk about us aligning our purposes. Aligning our purpose. I want to use for our focus scripture, Ephesians chapter 4. I want to look at verses 17 through 24. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. I want to invite you to stand with me as we read this scripture together. After you found it in your Bible, your device, then I want you to tune your attention to the screen and we will read together. Again, if you are able to stand, if you're healthy and strong, amen, stand and let's read God's word together. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's begin with verse 17. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the light of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way you learn. When you heard about Christ and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you today for the privilege, God, that you've given us to gather together and to worship you. And now, Father, I pray that you would make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. That, God, I will be, Lord, simply an oracle for you. Pray that, God, you would give your people discernment. Father, should anything come forth from my mouth that has not originated from you, that, God, you would give them discernment to distinguish, God, your will from my opinion. Father, those things that you speak, I pray that, Lord, they would not harden their hearts, but that, God, it will be received. Because, God, when we receive your word with thanksgiving, and when we act upon, God, your instructions, you say that, God, we will be the recipients, God, of your eternal presence and your blessing. So, God, allow this time to be fruitful as you, God, increase our knowledge. Grow us and draw us, God, into your purposes. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. So as we've been talking about alignment, one of the purposes of alignment is so that individual parts of a particular unit can work in harmony, so that that unit, whatever it might be, can function as it was designed. When we think about our alignment, we're talking about who we are as beings created in the image of God. God wants us then to function in such a way with harmony so that life is produced. When we talked about the illustration of an alignment associated with a vehicle, for instance, we talked about how that alignment keeps that vehicle from experiencing unnecessary or wear and tear upon the tires and everything else. And it also affords a better ride for the driver. That alignment is what is needed to extend the life of that particular unit or that particular vehicle. Well, you and I, as we talk about spiritual alignment, we need to understand that we are spiritual beings. We need to understand that. Amen?
Amen.
We're spiritual beings. We might be wrapped in flesh, but we are spiritual beings. And as spiritual beings, we communicate with God by way of the Spirit. And in order for us then to be appropriately aligned with God, to hear him and to walk according to his will, we need to have our spirits aligned and right with him so that we can live and function according to how he has designed us. When a person believes in Jesus Christ, our spirits then are made alive, and then we are able to commune with God. We're able to receive and understand his instructions. It is as though we are calibrated or adjusted to receive clear communication on the frequency of which God communicates. It's like we were placed on the right channel, so to speak. Tuned in to the right station. And as receivers, we are able to then get from the transmitter God that which is needed for life. That happens when we trust Jesus. He quickens our spirit. We were dead, separated from him, but when we receive Jesus, he quickens our spirit. He makes us alive. And the word says, anyone who is in Christ Jesus is a new creation. Behold, the old goes away. And what I like about this relationship with God is no matter how long you've been walking with him, you become new every day. Amen. You become new every day. I don't care if it was 40 years ago when you said, I trusted Jesus. What you discovered is that with each new day, there is a newness. Because his mercies are new, what? Every morning. It's like he meets you and reveals to you a new part of himself every day. And he opens up and reveals to you that you are being transformed and you are being changed and made ready for an eternal life with him. That's why you are new. You don't stay the same as you were on yesterday. Check this out. You may be aging on the outside, but you're being made new in your inner man or inner woman. And that's the old fades. God is getting you ready. Getting you ready. And then allowing you then to serve with him and for him in this body that he has given you. Now this is important because the person without the Spirit of God cannot accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. But instead, that person considers them foolish. So a person without the Spirit of God considers the things of God foolishness. And they cannot be understood because they are only discerned by the Spirit. If ever you find yourself talking to someone about spiritual things and revelations that God has given you, but they just can't grasp it and get a hold of it, it's because you need to understand that the things that come from the Spirit of God are only understood by the Spirit of God. Here's the good news. When you are in Jesus Christ, you receive God's Spirit so that you and I may understand what God has freely given us. What you get ain't for everybody. Amen? There are some revelations that come in your life that ain't for everybody. Because God is giving you His Spirit and insight because it is for you. Just because a person reads the Bible does not mean that they're going to understand the things of God. In this word, God has hidden some treasures for those who diligently seek Him. Amen. There are treasures in here, but you only find them when you diligently seek Him. That's why there are so many levels and layers to the Word of God. Because He meets us where we are, and as He matures us and He takes us around, the second time around, we discover that, oh, we missed something last time. Because in your growth and in your maturity, in your being made new, when you come around the second time, you have eyes that can now see a little bit better the things of God. And so you see what you missed the first time. Ain't you glad God didn't take it and hide it, but He left it there, knowing that He leads you in paths of righteousness, and that when you come back around, He's going to let you pick up the crumb that you left. That's God's goodness and God's grace. Amen. Amen. And so it is by the Spirit of God that we then receive from God so that we can receive His instructions and know then how to walk in Him. In his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, pastor and author Rick Warren writes these words. He says that when you start looking for your purpose, your reason for existence, he says this, it's not about you. I know those are not popular words. Those are not the kind of words that we want to hear. But he says when you start thinking about your purpose, why you exist, he says, it's not about you. The purpose of your life is far greater than your own personal fulfillment, your peace of mind, or even your happiness. It's far greater than your family, your career, or even your wildest dreams and ambitions. If you want to know why you were placed on this planet, you must begin with God. It says you were born by His purpose and for His purpose. Amen. You were born for His purpose. You exist only because God wills that you exist. You were made by God and for God. And until you understand that, life will never make sense. In other words, until you are aligned with your purpose, you're going to be frustrated, mad, angry, and searching without finding what you're looking for. He goes on to say, it is only in God that we discover our origin, our identity, our meaning, our purpose, our significance, and our destiny. It sounds like to me all the things that people are looking for. But if you're not careful, you will look for them in the wrong place. And I want to say to you and to me that if we're looking for our purpose, if we're looking for meaning, we have to align ourselves with God and his purposes for our lives. I want to read that line again. It says, it is only in God that we discover our origin. Where did you come from? Can I just tell you, you didn't come from no apes. I know what the books say, but don't believe every evolutionary lie that is dropped on you. That's why it's important that you get the truth so that you are able to discern between somebody's good idea and the truth. Amen? He says, it is only in God that we discover our identity. Who you are is found in God. Why? Because he created you and he knows you. It was him who put you together and formed you. He set the design in place. You and I are intelligent design. We are not evolutionary. We didn't just happen from a glob of mass or any old thing and show up this way. No. We're made in the image of God. Amen? And because we were made in the image of God, he has made us intelligent beings. Can I just tell you that you are not like a dog? Amen. Even though some men have been told they are like dogs, can I just say to you, you're not like a dog. You can actually control yourself. Dogs have impulses and they got to act up on them. Right? Right? Come on, y'all. Amen. In fact, there's even a proverb that says, dogs are so nasty that they return to their own vomit. Now, that's nasty. That's nasty, y'all. Go back and look at it. No, I ain't. But we are intelligent beings made in the image of God. He's given us the ability to see, think, reason. He has also given us authority over all of those lesser creatures. So you need to understand what your identity is. He has made us distinct, male and female. And can I just go ahead and make it clear that God didn't make a mistake. Amen. Amen? Amen? And so you and I, when we're looking for our identity, we got to go back and see what God has to say about who we are so that we can walk in truth and be aligned with our purposes so that we can receive God's desired best for our lives. It says that you can only discover your meaning through God, your purpose through God, your significance through God, and your destiny through God. In fact, God has those answers for us. The problem is sometimes we won't go commune with him and talk with him and let him tell us what he wants with us and from us. Part of us aligning our purposes with God is so that we can walk in the fullness of who he has designed us to be. God wants our lives properly aligned with him because he desires to fill us with his spirit to overflowing abundance. The reason he wants to do that is so that we are thoroughly equipped with everything good for doing his will. He wants us flowing or filled with his spirit to overflowing so that we may be conformed to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. God wants us looking like Jesus. Amen. Acting like Jesus, talking like Jesus. And dare I say, he wants us performing miracles like Jesus.
Amen.
That's why you gotta have your faith aligned, because if your faith is not aligned properly, you'll be feeling like, well, I can't do the kind of miracles that Jesus did because that was Jesus. No, Jesus said, my spirit came to live in you so that I can be present in the experience of other people. And I'm just looking for somebody with enough faith who will be bold enough to carry out my command to them. You and I need his spirit in us to be able to do that, to be conformed to the image of his son. He says, so that he may work in us what is pleasing to him. Your purpose for living is found in God. That's where it's found. He redeemed you so that you then could carry his image throughout the earth. He made some of us fruitful so that we could multiply and spread his image throughout the earth. That's why we exist. It's so that we can honor God with our lives. His purpose is for you and me to surrender ourselves fully to him, that he might be glorified. Hence, the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, when you get to verse 17, as we were talking about this, he said, if God has done all of this for you, if Jesus has made a way for you, if he has redeemed you from an empty way of life, if he has given you purpose, if he has helped you to understand that you are unique, that you have been called by him, he says, I tell you and insist on this then, that you no longer live as the Gentiles do in the fertility of their thinking. He says that now that you know that your life has purpose, stop walking around aimlessly like you don't know who you are or to whom you belong. But instead, live a focused life that takes you the places that God wants you to be and allows you to do the things that God has created you to do. Amen. That you are not tossed to and fro by the ideas of this world, but you are allowing God to direct your path so that you are receiving from him all that he has intended. And he says, I insist on it. And unfortunately, some of us think this is just a suggestion. This is not a suggestion. Living a life that's holy and righteous before God is not a suggestion. Making God first in your life is not a suggestion. It is an absolute requirement of the man or the woman who says that they want to live in God's will. If you want God's will, you've got to do it God's way. Amen. You've got to do it God's way in order for you to receive the full benefit of what he has to offer. Get out of the futility of your thinking and start operating in what God has declared. He says that he has renewed your thinking. That means he helps you think correctly about who you are, about what he is doing, and even about our times. And you and I need to stay linked up with him so that we then can walk in truth. Verse 18 says, they are darkened in their understanding, separated from the light of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. The heart, as Jeremiah says, is one of those instruments that is deceitful. Said that if you're not careful, your heart will make you think you are somewhere that you are not. If you're not careful, your heart will make you think that you have an allegiance that you do not have. That you love God at a level that you really don't love him. Because your heart can deceive you. But when you are filled with God's Spirit and allowing Him then to scrutinize your life, God will show you where you are fooling yourself, and then He will help you align to His will. But when we say that God don't care how we live, that's a lie. Amen. When we say it's all right because everybody else is doing it, that's a lie. Amen. I grew up in one of those old school families. And my mom and dad were very strict disciplinarians. And they had rules that we were to abide by even when they were not around. And so we were not just to be obedient to them when they were within eyesight. We were supposed to act like they could see us. But I was a stubborn, rebellious, kind of, you know, I was a boy. And I had to discover that fat meat was greasy. I was one of those that, you know what, I couldn't just take your word for it. I had to learn my lessons sometimes the hard way. Mom and Dad had this rule for us in our neighborhood that, you know what, we were free to go up and down the neighborhood and play and have fun. He said, but when you got to somebody's home and the parents were not there, he said, you are not to enter that home. You can play out in the yard for a little while, but don't you ever go in the house. He says, because there is no adult supervision there, we don't want you there. Well, I was at this house several homes from our house. Daddy was at work. He can't see. We're out playing and everybody else decided to go inside and you know, I gotta go with everybody else. I can't stay out here. What am I gonna do? Go back home? I'm gonna miss all that's going on. Man, I went inside and it got fun. And we were enjoying ourselves. And then I heard somebody say, Richard, your daddy out here. Oh my goodness. He wasn't at work. And then the neighborhood snitch had called. Every neighborhood needs one. Amen. She had called and told him that I was where I was not supposed to be. That wasn't good for me. My dad didn't just come to look at me. He came to communicate with me. Here's my problem. My dad had few words. And so he always had a little tool or instrument to help him communicate better. And because I lived in the country, we didn't have this thing called, you know, CBS, all that kind of stuff. So when my dad shows up and they say, Richard, your dad is home, I out of the house. I jump on my bicycle, but I'm way too slow. He's already got his communication tool out in his hand. He's already communicating to me, fat meat is greasy. Fat meat is greasy. Now you know I never lived that down. You know what else I didn't do? I never ever
went back in somebody's house without their parents being there. I'm just going to miss out on what's going on. Amen. I become darkened by all of the activity that was going on. Felt like I could get away because Dad wasn't present. And I could have my fun. You and I get caught up thinking that God doesn't see us. We are darkened in our thinking. Because God is an all-seeing God who does not miss a thing. And God is also a disciplined kind of God. For his children, he says that you can't do what everybody else does. For his children, he says that my rules apply to you. I don't care that they are getting away with it. You can't get away with it because you belong to me. So in the same way, because when my dad showed up, he didn't mess with any of the other kids because they didn't belong to him. He dealt with me. And in the same way, God deals with his people to say that you belong to him. And so what he speaks must hold value. It must hold true in your life because he will hold us accountable. You can't look at what everybody else is doing and say, if it's all right for them, it must be all right for me. No, 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 no. You belong to the Lord.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can't get away with what other folks getting away with. We are under the impression that just because we show up at church, that becomes a check mark on our box. And my frustration is this. Folks will come to church, folks will read their Bible, but then they'll go out and do whatever they want to do. What is that about? You will hear the command of God, but you will ignore the command of God as though God does not have all authority and power, as though you don't belong to God. You feel like you can do your own thing. And God has said that if you are not aligned with his purpose, if you are not aligned with his will, that you're going to get a spanking instead of a blessing. And I'm like, God, help us then to receive the blessing from you. I want to show you, can you show this clip? I want to show you this picture of a life that's online. This is a picture of, this is used for chiropractic care. I'm wanting us to understand this alignment with God. Because I'm fastly running out of time, but I don't want you to miss this, because here's the truth of the matter. This picture that you're looking at is of course a skull sitting on a neck, right? So part of it, you see the one that has health, it talks about a body imbalance. You see the one that's leaning, it's a body imbalance, out of balance. One you'll see at the above it, it says health. The other one says sickness. What this is making a reference to is that there are things that will happen in your physical body that will cause your body to be misaligned. And when your body becomes misaligned, this is dealing again with cervical health. When your body becomes misaligned, then you're not getting, the brain is not able to efficiently get information, blood flow signals, is not able to get information to each part of the body that it needs to go to. Because the brain is the central nerve, it's there. It's sending information to each part of the body. And when you're out of alignment, then that's messed up. I learned about cervical care when I experienced a back injury. Some of you know that sometimes I have problems with my lower back. It was so severe on one occasion that I could not move. In fact, I had spent the entire night on the floor, unable to get up. And so we had to call this doctor that we knew and see if we could get him to make an adjustment. And it's a very simple adjustment that they do at the top of the neck, at the base of the skull, to align the head so that it's straight, and then it allows healing to flow to the rest of the body. When the adjustment was made, my back pain did not completely dissipate, but I was able to stand up straight, and I was able to walk, and the healing process began. Prior to that, I was bent over on my knees and in excruciating pain. What I'm describing in my physical body is what is going on in the lives of many spiritually. You're bent over in excruciating pain and unable to experience the life that God wants you to experience. And I am suggesting to you that the reason that we are not able to experience God's best for us is because some of us are out of alignment. Some of us are out of alignment. Some of us are not exercising faith. Some of us are not walking in hope. Some of us are not fully committed to God. Some of us have our priorities out of place. And some of us simply don't know who we are. And because we are out of alignment, God is not able to send to you the blessing that he has for your life. And what I'm suggesting is that when you and I get things right with God, even though there won't be this immediate everything perfect in your life, the healing process begins. If you don't believe it, you don't try it, you won't experience it. Amen?
Amen.
It will leave you empty. Leave you impotent. Will leave you destitute. And wondering, what must I do? In this text that we were reading, I want to take you to verse number 20. Because again, Paul highlights some things. He says that you, however, did not learn the way of life, or this way of life, this empty way of life, when you came to Christ. He says, surely you heard of him and were taught of him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by his deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God, in true righteousness and holiness. So Paul says this, the key to this alignment is to put off the old self and put on the new self. The key to being spiritually aligned is to accept God's will for your life, and then begin to walk in. So here's how it looks. First, what do you believe about Jesus Christ? This is the first little adjustment. What do you believe about Jesus Christ? Well, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that God sent Jesus Christ from heaven so that he might live a perfect life on earth. I believe that when Jesus Christ came, he was sinless and perfect. Only perfect man to ever walk the face of the earth.
Amen.
That's what I believe. I don't believe that Jesus was just a good person. I don't believe that Jesus was just another prophet. I don't believe that Jesus was just another good teacher. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God.
Amen.
who came in the form of man, and that when he had completed his time upon earth, he gave his life as a payment for your sins and my sins. So I believe that even though I am sinful and the wages of sin is death, I believe that my debt has already been paid by Jesus Christ. Yeah. That when he died on the cross, God said, that's sufficient for Richard. That will take care of him, not only him, but every man, woman, boy, girl who would believe upon the name of Jesus Christ. There is adequate payment in the death of Jesus Christ for our sins. So he took my sin debt and it was erased. So no longer are my sins counted against me. That's why I don't have to live in condemnation. Wait, I'm trying to help you with an adjustment. Right? Here's the adjustment. What you believe about Jesus is important. If all you believe is Jesus was a good prophet, but that he didn't take away your sins, you got a problem. Amen. But if you believe that Jesus was the Lamb of God sent to take away the sins of the world, and that meant your sins, that means that now you no longer have to worry about the weight and bondage of your sins, because when you trust in Jesus Christ, Jesus take that weight from you. He says, let me have that. No longer do you need to carry that baggage. I'm going to yoke you up with me and show you how to do this thing right. And so now I do not have to walk in the futility of my thinking. I do not have to walk in the weight of unforgiveness. I do not have to walk in the sin of all the things that I may have done and the things that I will do. For they have been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. But there is more that I believe about Jesus. I believe that Jesus died for my sins and that his death was sufficient to pay the debt for them. But I also believe this, that the grave could not hold Jesus. That as strong as death is, it didn't have the power to hold Jesus. That of all the people, because death has held everybody else, that died, they got it. But when he came to Jesus, Jesus said, I'm going to give you 3 days to enjoy me. And on the third day, I got to say goodbye. And so I believe that death couldn't hold him. And on the third day, he got up. He was raised from the dead. Now that's important, because if you believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, the Bible says that the same spirit, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is also alive in you. So that means that now if death couldn't hold Jesus, wait a minute, death is the final thing that has to be overcome, and it couldn't hold Jesus, then what's trying to hold me? That whatever has you shackled, whatever is holding you, doesn't have the power to keep you if you have a right belief in who Jesus is. That's an adjustment. That you are bound, but now what you realize is that the thing that bound you cannot hold you, because the power of the one who lives in you prevails, and he is greater. And if you can adjust your thinking, there will be no shackles that will keep you held down. No situation that will keep you oppressed. Because the power of the Spirit of the living God dwells in you. And that same power is what raised Jesus from the dead. And he will set you free. That's an adjustment. And when you make the adjustment, now the truths that God has given you start to flow in your life, and they start to work in your life so that you begin to experience him and all that he has for you. It's about making adjustments. Let me close with this thought, because you need to know just one other thing. Because not only did Jesus died for your sins, not only was he raised from the dead, the word of God says that he returned to his rightful place in heaven. So now Jesus is at the right hand of the Father.
The Word of God says that Jesus is interceding on your behalf and on my behalf. That means that Jesus is standing in the gap, praying for you and for me. That Jesus is saying that I have victory for you, and he's doing all that he can to make sure that we have that victory. In Romans chapter 8, and I want you to, when you get a chance to go and take a look at this, I just want to read it right now for you and me, and we want to close right there, because in Romans chapter 8, verses 6 through 11, they give us a powerful insight. Paul was saying to the Ephesians, don't you get caught in the futility of your thinking. Don't you allow your natural mind to control the way you operate, because you now have the Spirit of God and you are now informed by the Word of God. And so now you walk in the power of God because what he has given you. In Romans chapter 8, verse number 6 says, the mind of the sinful man is on death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. In other words, those who are controlled by the futility of their thinking cannot submit to God's will. The natural man cannot do that. He does not seek to please God. But he says that the man with the Spirit of God can. Those who are controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. That's why God doesn't bless mess. That's why God doesn't bless fake lies. Because when you are controlled by your sinful nature, you cannot please God. But listen to verse number 9. He says, you, however, are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit of God, who lives in you. So he says that if anyone is in Christ, he has the Spirit of God. Your body may be dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. So he says that if you're in Christ, you have the Spirit of Christ. So that's why when God raised him from the dead, Jesus returned from heaven, he sent his Spirit to live in us so that we might have life. And listen to verse 11. He said, and if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who lives in you. Romans 8, verses 6 through 11. God has promised you victory because the Spirit lives in you. Your victory doesn't come because of your hard work. Your victory comes because of your faith and your belief in God and his Spirit that is at work in you. That's an adjustment. I'm not saying don't work hard. I'm just saying understand that your victory doesn't come because of your hard work. Your victory comes because you place your trust in Jesus. You place your trust in God, and you're walking in obedience to what he has revealed. And in your obedience, because you've made an adjustment in your obedience, life is flowing into you. And as the life is flowing into you, you are receiving healing in whatever area where you need healing. And God is granting you victory over whatever enemy is pursuing you. It's all about the adjustment, aligning your purpose with God. You have been designed, created to glorify God, and enjoy fellowship with him. You have been called to be a representative upon the earth that God still loves people and forgives them. And he is looking for those who want to be in relationship with him. And he has called you to be one of his agents to carry forth the love of Christ and the power of Christ so that men and women everywhere can experience the undeniable, unfailing, eternal love of God. That is your purpose, to carry the good news of Jesus Christ, to tell other folks that he lives and that he lives in me. To tell other folks that I have a hope that whatever you're going through,
I want you to know that I know a God who is able to do something about your situation. Yes. To remind other folks that you know a God who has promised that he will never leave you nor forsake you. That no matter how dark your situation comes, you have a God who is light, and he will pierce the darkness to come and find you and to come and be with you, because he has promised, I'll never, ever leave you alone. That's your job. And sometimes, in order for God to prepare you for your job, he'll take you through a little bit of mess so that your testimony is real and authentic. He don't want you talking about somebody that you don't know about. How you gonna tell somebody you know a God that gives peace when you ain't never had no trouble? So sometimes you gotta go through some stuff so that you can discover that this God really is the God who can give you peace in the midst of a storm. How you gonna tell somebody that you know a God who will meet you in the midnight hour when you ain't never had a problem with the midnight hour? You always been good in the midnight hour. So sometimes he'll isolate you so that you are all by yourself. And just when you think you're alone, he'll creep into your room and remind you, I see you, I know you, and better yet, I am with you. And because I'm with you, everything is going to be all right. Sometimes he's going to take you through some stuff so that you're going to have a testimony. How you going to tell somebody that God is a provider if you ain't never been broke? Yeah. Sometimes you need to know what it's like to be broke, not knowing where the next penny is coming from, so that when God opens up that door, all you can say is, nobody but Jesus. So sometimes he's got to take you through some stuff so that your testimony is refined, and so that it is authentic, and so you ain't going around lying like you know him. See, some of us need to know when you're praying for other folks to get well that God is able to move in miraculous ways. And when God has delivered you from a thing, you know how you get real then. Amen. When God has delivered you from a sickness that the doctor said there wasn't no hope. When you start praying for somebody else who's dealing with something that they said ain't no hope, you say, well, wait a minute. Whose report are you going to believe? I got another report that I need to share with you. And then, based upon what you experience and what you know to be true, you start to tell them about this God who is able to deliver. Amen. The Jehovah Rapha, he'll meet you. This happens when you and I align ourselves with God's will, God's purposes. When we get aligned, stuff that we've been missing starts to show up. It starts to show up. He says, now, I'm ready to use you, ready to bless you, ready to deliver. In Jesus' name.